mistaking what this, in fact, really is. It's a massive voice of protest against the rule of the Shah.
Good evening. Now we know the United States has passed the word to the Shah of Iran. It's time for him to leave his country.
The political initiative now lies totally with the Ayatollah. Now that he's back, he'll very soon announce the establishment of a government of his own.
There might have been tears in the eyes of the Shah as he left, took to the streets of the capital in their thousands to celebrate the departure of the man they have hated for so long.
I'm Alexandra Vakian, the photographer. Showing me the stuff with Ayatollah Khomeini's picture, and he said, this man is coming. He's coming, and it's going to change everything. It was a no contest situation because I wanted to go to Iran, and I did. When I was about 8 years old, my father started teaching me, and the way he did it was through Life magazine and Look magazine, and I was already taking pictures. And he taught me how a story is told in pictures, purely in pictures, through the pages of, and the great photo essays of Life magazine and Look at that time, which doesn't exist anymore. And it was during wartime, it was Vietnam War. There were very strong essays and photographs on the Vietnam War. And so I learned from that. And I also learned, because he was a great editor, he let me come into the cutting room when he was cutting a movie, and he would let me cut for him. And in those days, you had a thing that came down and cut the actual film. And then he would explain why this scene and this angle fits with this scene and this angle, and why he asked me to cut there. So he trusted me, he put a lot of trust in me to cut that negative, And he made a movie called End of the Road, which was quite spectacular, a kind of indie film. And he let me, for example, he had discovered Gordon Willis, the great cinematographer, director of photography. He discovered him on TV commercials and gave him his first job in movies. And he went on to do The Godfather and so many other things. But he let me sit in Gordon's seat and look at how Gordon had composed a shot. And so, very early on he was teaching me, and through my school years and into my 20s. And he never wanted me to photograph conflict. But I was drawn to it from the time I was at Sarah Lawrence and studying anthropology, theater. And I became addicted to taking pictures and telling people stories, especially tough stories, in New York City at first. And then, you know, eventually I went to Haiti in the, you know, time that Baby Doc Duvalier, the dictator, fled. And I spent 7 months there, which upset my dad a lot because it was dangerous. And yet he taught me everything that I knew. When I was doing my current research before having left for Iran, I wanted all the new books on Iran. So I went to the bookstore. And I chose this, I chose that. And then, as I was waiting on lines to pay, a man says to me, "You should really read The Mantle of the Prophet." And I said, "I read that 10 years ago." And he was very patient, even though I was kind of rude to him, you know. A man talking to me in public, I wasn't, you know, going for that, even in the bookstore. And he said, "Are you a student?" I said, "No." And he said, "Well, why are you so interested in Iran?" I said, "Well, I'm, you know, I'm a photographer and I'm going there." He said, "Really?" I said, "Yes." And he gave me his card, and it said Andrew Parasoliti, who he said, "You know, I'm the expert they called into National Geographic to ask me whether or not they should do the story in Iran. And I told them to jump on it." We went out to DuPont Circle and we talked for about 3 hours, mostly about Iraq, but also some about Iran. So here was the man, just by chance I met him in the bookstore in the Middle East section, right? I had been there. And well, I married him. That's my husband, yeah. And he then introduced me to the Mahalati family. And in Iran, that made a big difference to me because I really needed to work with an Ayatollah. And he was very kind to me. He's from Shiraz, as you know, and he made his, you know, beautiful little dessert out of ice and flowers, and I photographed him in the mosque. I photographed him during the month of mourning before Ashura, and I photographed him in his rose garden, and also his wife cooked some beautiful meals, and also he received Shia from Iraq, Iraqi Shia, who were telling him what was going on with Saddam's, you know, repression. At that time, it was still Saddam, just before, you know, we went to war against them in 2003. We left from Morocco, from Rabat, and we flew to Paris because there was no direct flight at that time to Tehran. So that's what we did, Nadine and I. We flew through Paris. And we got there, we were the last plane of correspondents let in. They were going to turn us around because they had enough. You know, they had enough correspondents. And so they kept us there and they gave us manteau, you know, very thick in June, it was hot. and, you know, scarves and everything. And I mean, we had brought some along, but it just wasn't heavy enough for this purpose. And so we arrived, and they had just covered, they let us in, because we really begged them. We said, please, we came all this way just for this. And they let us in. So how could they refuse? So they could. But anyway, I remember it was June, and it felt like winter, because the country was in mourning. It was amazing to be there. I'll show you a picture of that I have in my book. And the men were mourning. They were, using the chains, and the women were mourning. And then we were taken to Ayatollah Khomeini's house. And they showed us how he left it. And the glasses just so, and the slippers just so, and they wanted to show us how modestly he lived, which he really did live very in a modest home. And his portrait, big painting, was outside, and children were coming and kissing it from the neighborhood. Not in any organized way, but they just were. And it's also in my book, this picture, Windows of the Soul. This is at just outside Ayatollah Khomeini's house after he died. And a young Basij, right? And some little girl. So then, after then, my father died, and then I didn't do anything for a year. And then my mother and my stepfather invited me to the, they were making this movie in the Palestinian territories. And I went. And that was the beginning of 6 years of work on the Palestinian-Israeli fight and then the peace process. At the same time, I would do other things. I spent a month in Iraq here, a month in Iraq there. I lived in Moscow for 2 years and covered the end of the Soviet Union really for 4 years. I would go there often the first 2 years, and then I lived there full time for 2 years. And then I moved to Gaza, and then to Africa, where I spent 6 months documenting two famines and two civil wars in Somalia and Sudan. And how we had to travel in Somalia with bodyguards. This was a very tough place where you could be killed for nothing, for your sunglasses. And from Africa to Gaza. Because Gaza had been forgotten at that point, I thought this is a good time to go, because there's still a fight going on. And I also knew Yasser Arafat from a cover story I did for the New York Times Magazine. And he, although he called me a dictator and a troublemaker, he allowed me to photograph him anytime I needed to. And so I was able to do that. The first one was the cover of the New York Times Magazine, which was extraordinary access in, that was 1989, and, or 1988, 88 or 89. And, at the same time I was going to the civil war between Azerbaijan and Armenians and Karabakh, and I never came home. I didn't come home for 10 years. This is Gaza. This is just, I was working for myself in Gaza at this point. Because, and this was Yasser Arafat's birthday, because nobody would pay for an assignment at that time in Gaza. So actually I split expenses with Alfred. I think, it's very interesting to try to tell the story of a conflict without violence. This is the entourage of Yasser Arafat. And then this is just daily life in Gaza. Hamas bachelor party. There's Arafat on his plane, and we're going to Libya to see Gaddafi. Just how kids live in the refugee camp, you know. They all sleep in the same place. Living in Gaza was an unforgettable experience, and for a lot of reasons. After that, I really got tired. Around 1996, or 95 really, I started getting very tired of conflict. And at the same time, I started working with National Geographic. And I kept, you know, proposing this story in Iran. I wanted to do what they called a country story in Iran. And they kept saying, no, but would you go to Romania for us? This and that, you know. And so finally, they accepted my proposal when Khatami, you know, I rewrote it when Khatami came into power. And, you know, I had read so much about Iran, and I knew exactly what I wanted to do, and which was to discover the country and to try to reach beyond politics, to try to reach, really, I was so interested in the people-to-people concept. And when I went, that's what happened.
For two decades, most Westerners have not felt welcome here. Now, an American woman has been given the chance to capture this land in pictures. This is the story of 2 weeks in her journey to the Islamic Republic of Iran. Alexandra Avakian is a photographer for National Geographic magazine. This is her third trip to Iran on this assignment. She has a short time and a long list of photographs she wants to get.
Islamic dress, for me, is just like if you're an underwater photographer, you have to wear a wetsuit. Or if you're like a mountain climbing photographer, you have to bring ropes and all that equipment that they use. It's your passport to an incredible country, and it's a small price to pay.
I was the first American photojournalist who had been able to travel in Iran so widely and for so long. And it was 4 trips, about 4 months, about 750 rolls. Very tight. I'm a tight shooter. And that was tight, you know? The buildings. 750 rolls for National Geographic. But this ended up being the cover and 32 pages and also a film they made. They came and joined me and made a film of my work there.
Last and perhaps most important on Alex's list is another tough picture. With only a few days left, she heads south to Esfahan, where she hopes to photograph Friday prayers.
I would say that beyond that, you know, professionally, it was an honor to be able to travel that widely and for so long for National Geographic at that time. But I was excited to go for Ayatollah Khomeini's funeral as well, you know. And for personal reasons, you know, I hope I understood something, and I hope I communicated, you know, what I meant to communicate. Personally, the best memory was Ancestral Village, for sure. I remember my grandfather, when I was little, he used to say, dogs belong on the roof. And I never understood it, and he used to poke my aunt's dog with his cane, saying, dogs belong on the roof. And then when I saw the village, I saw the flat roofs, you know, where they keep the grain. And I'm talking about everybody's house, but also his compound in particular. And so, you know, that was very interesting to see how they lived.
I wouldn't want not to know. I wouldn't want to sort of live my life without knowing where my people come from.
Because that was the best part of it.
My interest in the story definitely has to do with my love for them, and especially my father, my grandparents.
I would love to go again, you know. I hope to go again. I really, really do. I just think going deeper and spending more time just to photograph the life of Iran, you know, such as it is and how it reveals itself. And it's, I don't think people understand in the United States that it's incredibly beautiful, geographically stunning, with many different kinds of geography, with the people who also are amazing in their various and many cultures. And I don't think they realize that, you know, but they don't know beyond that to the people and the beauty of the place. And so my interest at this point is the same, really, is people to people. And to show, you know, the really incredible geography of the, you know, the land is very beautiful.